So our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter. You may recall that last week we were in the 13th chapter of Matthew talking about some parables that Jesus shared with crowds of people, and today we continue that story. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but five loaves and two fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven. And he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of all the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I got nothing. At first, I was going to ask if you've ever felt or said these words, but then I decided I'd better change the question to, when was the last time you felt like this or said these words? Because I feel them or think them or say them, even if only to myself, more often than I'd like to admit. I got nothing. As I look into an empty refrigerator at 5:30 or 6 p.m. with people waiting for dinner and me needing to be back at church by 7:30 for another meeting. I got nothing. You think to yourself after a long, exhausting day at work, only to arrive home to a house full of excited kids eager to play with you and in need of your attention. I got nothing when you realize that the balance in your bank account isn't nearly enough to cover the unexpected car repair, the health challenge, the mortgage payment. I got nothing when your adult child or your dear friend calls you with challenges or struggles that are way beyond your control or expertise. I got nothing when you're in a tight spot and everyone is looking to you to answer the $64,000 question or fix the problem. I got nothing when the needs of the world around you far outnumber your resources or ability to respond in any meaningful way. It doesn't feel good, does it? To feel so tired or worn out or worn down that you don't think you have another ounce to give. To feel so inadequate or helpless in the face of great need. Well, that's exactly where we find the disciples in our Bible story today. However, the story does not begin with the disciples' lack of resources, but with Jesus, who was also experiencing a lack of his own and in dire need of rest and solace and renewed energy. In the preceding chapters, Jesus had been on an exhausting teaching tour throughout Galilee. Remember those parables we talked about last week? Where he was met by crowds of people at every village and town. Then, when he finally arrived in his own hometown, where he thought he would find friends and neighbors, a home-cooked meal, and a receptive audience, they took offense at him and rejected him. Finally, just before today's story, Jesus was informed of the brutal death of his cousin and mentor, the prophet who not only inspired him but had baptized him, John the Baptist, at the hands of the local ruler, Herod. It was all just too much. Jesus needed to get away, to have some alone time, to think and to feel, to grieve and to pray, to regain his strength and sense of purpose. So he got into a boat and pushed off from the shoreline and headed for a deserted spot further up the lake. When Jesus came ashore, however, he found that the crowds had somehow followed him on foot along the shoreline, carefully tracking his little boat in the distance. He was met yet again with a swarm of people, calling out for help, straining to touch him, begging for healing and hope. Jesus probably just wanted to shake his head and say, "I got nothing." Instead, he looked at the crowds, and he saw their need, and he had compassion for them. The Greek word here for compassion is far more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart or a little bit of pity. It comes from a root word in Greek that refers to our inward parts, or as one concordance put it, our noble entrails, like the heart, lungs, liver, and kidneys. You've heard the phrase gut-wrenching? Well, it literally means that Jesus' guts were wrenched with care and concern for the people. What else could he do but heal them, touch them, offer hope and wholeness to everyone in need? As the day wore on, however, the disciples started looking around and realized that they really were in the middle of nowhere, not a fast food joint or convenience store for miles. Maybe they heard Jesus' stomach growling. Maybe their stomachs started growling. Maybe the babies and kids in the crowd, or even the grown-ups, started to whine about being hungry. Or maybe the disciples just wanted to give Jesus a break and get him away from all the constant noise and activity. Whatever the reason, they whispered in Jesus' ear, "Hey, boss, it's getting late, and there's not much to eat around here. Maybe you should send the crowds away to find some dinner in the neighboring villages or towns, and so we can finally get some peace and quiet," was the unspoken end of their sentence. Jesus, however, had a completely different idea. "They need not go away," he said. "You give them something to eat." I would have loved to see the disciples' faces when Jesus said this. What? They must have thought, them feed over 5,000 people? He's got to be kidding. Where would they find all that food? How in the world would they pay for it? There was no way they could trek into the nearest villages, gather up enough food for all those people, cart it all back here, and hand it out. Jesus must really be running on fumes to suggest something so ridiculous. This is when the disciples said, "We got nothing." We got nothing. Well, almost nothing when you count the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish someone happened to have. But that's not enough to feed the 12 of us, let alone this crowd. We got nothing. And who can blame them? The crowd was enormous. The need was completely overwhelming. And the disciples themselves were running on empty. What in the world was Jesus thinking? As Professor Doc Hollingsworth explains, there is an ongoing tension here. Big crowds of unmet needs tend to overwhelm our sense of agency. If it had only been 6 people following Jesus when it came time to eat, the disciples might have thought there was something that someone could do. But a whole crowd of unmet need was overwhelming. Send the crowds away may have been a way of confessing their powerlessness in the face of large-scale need, as well as getting the obvious and uncomfortable need out of their sight. All the disciples could see here was what they did not have, their limitations and what they lacked. They were operating out of a perspective of scarcity, the mindset that tells us whatever we have is not and will never be enough. This is the mindset that most of us still operate out of today. We worry, consciously or unconsciously, that we won't have enough money to pay the bills, make the mortgage or tuition payments, be able to retire comfortably, or cope with that rainy day whenever it comes. We don't have enough time or energy. We don't have the right skills or talents to do what the school, what the job, what the church is asking us to do right now. We got nothing. This is certainly the way the world still works today, too. Look out for yourself, accumulate more and more, hold on tightly to what you have, because God only knows when you might need it, and God forbid it will not be enough. And what about all those other people around the world who already don't have enough? Well, if you have a little extra to spare, send it to a charity, give it to the church, maybe even volunteer your extra time so you can feel like you're doing a little bit of something. But in the face of such great need and suffering, we can't possibly feed them all, clothe them all, heal them all, or meet all their needs. In the face of such overwhelming need, we got nothing. Where the disciples saw scarcity, however, Jesus saw possibility. As preacher Barbara Brown Taylor says, Jesus operated out of a different set of assumptions altogether. If the disciples operated out of a sense of scarcity, then what Jesus operated out of was a sense of plenty. He looked at exactly the same things the disciples looked at. And where they saw not enough, he saw plenty. Plenty of time. Plenty of food, and plenty of possibilities with the resources at hand. Not that he knew how it all was going to work out exactly, he was only human after all. But what Jesus knew beyond a shadow of a doubt was that wherever there was plenty of God, there would be plenty of everything else. Wherever there was plenty of God, there would be plenty of everything else too. You see, the disciples forgot who was with them. Jesus, God with us in the flesh. Jesus was the living, breathing embodiment of everything that was possible with God. Remember those parables from last week? A tiny mustard seed can grow into a tree that provides shelter for birds and can be used for food and medicine. A little bit of yeast can leaven enough bread to feed a whole village. God loves transforming little things into big impact. As Jesus shows us over and over again throughout his ministry, God is all about transforming our scarcity into God's abundance. So Jesus' instructions were clear. Don't send them away. You give them something to eat. When the disciples objected, pointing out their obvious lack of resources, Jesus simply said, "Bring what you have to me." And although the details are sparse about what happened next, Jesus looked up to heaven, thanked God for what they had, for blessing them with 5 dried up loaves of bread and 2 measly fish, and then he told the disciples to start handing out the food. Whether you believe that the bread miraculously multiplied or that everyone in the crowd seeing Jesus do what he did, that they realized too that they had something they could share and started actually sharing it, the end result was that all ate and were filled. They not only had enough, but there was plenty left over for the journey back home. Just like the mustard seed, even the smallest offering can become a bountiful feast. The good news here is, as Presbyterian pastor and professor Clifton Kirkpatrick explains, that when we need it most, God will provide us the power to work for good in the world. A reality many of us have discovered when faced with situations we were not sure we could manage. When Jesus told the disciples to feed the 5,000, the disciples thought it was impossible. The needs were so great and the resources so few. However, when the disciples worked together and followed Jesus, they had more than enough. The promise of the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is that if we join together in unity and faithfulness, God will be with us. It is not a promise of the absence of struggle or pain. Even Jesus had to go the way of the cross. But it's a promise that God will be with us. and that God's intention for love, peace, justice, and plenty in the world will ultimately prevail. Where there is plenty of God, there will be plenty of everything else too. Do we believe this? Do we really believe this? Or are we secretly waiting and hoping that someone else will take charge and solve the problem? Barbara Brown Taylor puts it this way: the problem with miracles is that we tend to get mesmerized by them, focusing on God's responsibility and forgetting our own. Miracles let us off the hook. They appeal to the part of us that is all too happy to let God feed the crowd, save the world, and do it all. We do not have what it takes, after all. What we have to offer is not enough to make any difference at all. So we hold back and wait for a miracle, looking after our own needs and looking for God to help those who cannot help themselves. But that is not the way God works. They need not go away, Jesus said. You give them something to eat. Not me, but you. Not my bread, but yours. Not sometime or somewhere else, but right here and now. Stop looking for someone else to solve the problem and solve it yourselves. Stop waiting for food to fall from the sky and share what you have. Stop waiting for a miracle and participate in one instead. Far more than being about Jesus and what he can do, this story is about us and what we are called to be and do. Kirkpatrick explains that this story is about what it means to be Jesus' disciples and the awesome responsibility that God has entrusted to us. Jesus did not feed the 5,000. He told the disciples to do it. God has entrusted us to be the body of Christ, the hands and feet through which God's work is done in the world. God does not work alone, but through people, through you and me. To follow Jesus is to express our faith in concrete acts of love, justice, and gut-wrenching compassion for others. Where there is plenty of God, there will be plenty of everything else. Do we really believe this? Are we willing to try living it? Far more than a story about feeding 5,000, this story is about a call to discipleship, which is a call to follow Jesus in the ways of compassion and abundance, to participate through concrete action in the service of human need. This story about the feeding of the 5,000, it's the only one of Jesus' miracle stories to be included in all four of the Gospels. In fact, Matthew and Mark both include two different versions of it, one with 5,000 and one with 4,000 people. I wonder why. Maybe it's because the Gospel writers knew that we needed to hear this message over and over again. They knew how easy it is for us to see the needs around us and say, we got nothing. We'll never be able to find enough volunteers to staff both our food pantry and the table at Stop and Shop on September 9th. We'll never find someone to serve as the Sunday school superintendent. We'll never find enough people to host a coffee hour and bring some food on a Sunday morning and plug in those coffee pots. We'll never find enough people to help weed the gardens, water the flowers, maintain the buildings and grounds. We'll never meet our pledge goal and be able to cover our budget deficit. We'll certainly never be able to solve the problem of hunger in our community or restore peace between nations. So why even try? We got nothing. Jesus' words to us today are the same words he spoke to the disciples. You don't need to send them away. You don't need to wait for someone else with more money or more power or more time and energy or more perfectly fit skills and talents to fix the problem and save the world. You give them something to eat. Take a good look at what you already have and then offer it to Jesus. Lift it up to God and let Jesus bless it and break it and give it back to you so you can share it with others and start making miracles happen wherever you are. Regardless of what you think you don't have, the good news is that God is still with us. And when there is plenty of God with us, there is always plenty of everything else to go around. Amen.